Okay, the question was asked about candle lighting for bachelors. So let's quickly review the laws of candle lighting. Every Jew, come Friday afternoon before sunset, is supposed to light candles. Now, ordinarily, the woman of the house, this is her mitzvah, she has first rights to it. If the husband says, I want to light Shabbos candles, and the woman says, I want to light Shabbos candles, so firstly we tell him, she's got first rights. She makes the blessing, she lights the candles. And secondly we tell him, go talk to someone, why are you fighting over such a thing? And thirdly we tell him, you the husband, if you want to have a part in this mitzvah, so according to Kabbalah, the husband is supposed to prepare the Shabbos candles for his wife. He prepares them, and the wife lights them. Now what people often are unaware of, is that even before they are married, they're obligated to light Shabbos candles. This obligation isn't only for a married person, this obligation is for any person. When a married person, this obligation is for any person. When a person is married, so his wife does it for him. When a person lives in his parents' home, so they do it for him. When a person is in Machon Meir or in any other yeshiva, so usually they light candles downstairs at the dining room where you're going to eat, and those candles are supposed to suffice for everyone. There is a small problem with that, and that is that the Shabbos candles that are lit are supposed to have a shaveh pruta, the value of a pruta for each person they're being lit for. Meaning, if I'm a guest at someone's home, so he's going to light his Shabbos candles, and he's lighting them for me as well. Well, I have to own part of those candles, which is worthwhile in those candles, which is a shaveh pruta, which is about 5 cents. 5 cents, 10 cents. Now, you figure you light a candle costs about a quarter, 20 cents. That could be good for 4 people, but that can't be good for 500 people. You have Machon Meir, 200 people. If they're only lighting 2 candles, that's a bit problematic to say that those two candles are going to be good for 200 people, because you don't have a value of a nickel or 7 cents for each person in those two candles. And another thing that people have to be aware of, so before we continue, I'm sorry. Sometimes think, I'll be pious and I'll light candles in my room, in my dorm room. I don't know what the Machon policy is, but if you listen to me, then I personally think it should be forbidden for any person to light candles in their room. That is the policy. I'm happy to hear that. The reason is that we've already seen that in Tells, in Cleveland, the United States, people lit Hanukkah candles in their room, and there was a fire, and quite a number of students perished in that fire. And it's unfortunate that we have to learn from such tragedy, but bottom line, lighting fires in the rooms, even if one person will say, I'll be careful, he'll be careful, and someone else won't be careful. He'll be careful in his own room, and someone else will see him do it, and they'll do it in their room, and they won't be careful. Every year, in Yeshivas Merkaz Harav, there are fires. Every year people light their Hanukkah candles on a chair and the chair catches in flames. When the candle goes down, if you light a wax candle, then when it hits the chair, the flame is there and the wax is gone and the flame lights the chair. It is very, very common that there are fires. And although here in Israel, fires are less dangerous than in the United States because the buildings are not built of wood here in Israel, nonetheless, the fire is still a dangerous thing, and if you listen to me, I say no one should light candles in their room, not for Hanukkah nor for Shabbos. If you want to, so you could light candles downstairs in the lunchroom where you're going to eat. Let's say one is going away for the Shabbos meal. So we say that the candles should be where he eats, or if he's going to spend time after the meal where he sleeps, so they should be lit there. Ordinarily, you live in a home, so you light the candles by the Shabbos table where you're going to eat, and then you derive benefit of those Shabbos candles. But let's say you're coming back to Machon and you're not going to enter the lunchroom, so you're not going to have any benefit from those candles. They're not honoring your table, you're not eating there. So then we say, if you come back and you're going to go straight to bed, you don't need light when you get back, so ask your hosts to partake of their Shabbos candles, which basically means pay them half a shekel, and tell them that's for your portion in the Shabbos candles, and when they light, they should have you in mind. People don't do this. When I have guests from the Machon, they come Friday night, not even from the Machon, when I have guests from all the biggest yeshivas, so they eat by me, and I ask them, did you want me to have you in mind when I lit Shabbos candles? And they say, oh, you're right, yeah, I did. So I say, okay, but you have to have a portion. You have to own a portion of. So they say, well, did you give me a portion of the Shabbos candles? So if I remember, I do. But how can I do that? Halachically, there has to be an act of acquisition, a legal act that's called a kinyan, in order for it to pass from my ownership to their ownership. So in halacha, we have a concept called zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. We can merit for someone, we can acquire something for someone, even when he isn't present. So let's say Jeff wanted to give that roll to Michael, and Michael isn't here. So I could take that roll, Jeff gives it to me, and I lift for Michael, and then that roll halachically belongs to Michael, doesn't belong to Jeff, and it does not belong to me. But it must be that Jeff wants to give it over, and I want to acquire it for Michael. Even though Michael did not know I was acquiring it for him, because he would have wanted me to acquire it for him, we have a halachic concept called Zachin Adam Shalom Fanav. We can merit for someone even when he isn't present. Now this only works through someone else. Meaning if I want to give Jeff my cup of shoko here, I can't pass it to the other hand and say, ah, now I'm acquiring it for Jeff. That doesn't work. I have to give it to someone else, and they have to lift it in with having in mind that they're acquiring it for someone else. There's a halachic question about whether one's wife may do that. Meaning, can I ask my wife, could you lift this and acquire it for Jeff? Because a wife is really, she's a partner in everything I own. So, because we have this partnership, we say that a wife cannot do this. A wife is like an extension of me. And therefore, just like I can't pass it from hand to hand and say now it's being acquired for someone else, by the same token, I cannot ask my wife to take it and acquire it for someone else. It must be a mature adult who is not my wife or my children who I'm supporting. And therefore, when you guys come as guests to my house for Shabbos, I have to go knocking on my neighbor's door and explain to him this whole halacha and tell him, do me a favor, could you pick this up for all the guests that you don't know that are coming to me tonight? And this way you will acquire for them a shavet pruta in the candle. And by now, my neighbor knows what this is all about. What? And they do this. But I have to tell you that Friday afternoon is a pretty lachutz time. There's pressure. And I don't always remember to acquire the candles for you. So if you call and remind me, then it's my responsibility. But if you don't, then it's your responsibility. So if I remember, I try to be a nice guy and do it. And very often you guys come to me and you don't know that you own part of the candles that are being lit there. And that I lit them for you. But I lit them for you. Remember, I must confess, I used to be better at this. I used to be better at this. But I used to have less children, and Baruch Hashem, I have more now. And now things are more pressured Friday afternoon. So I don't always remember. Yeah?
Question. Usually in my house, almost every time, I have never been when she lights the candles.
You don't have to be there when she lights the candles. She's lighting it for all of you. She just has to light it before sundown.
Yeah.
And preferably, the custom everywhere out of Jerusalem is 18 or 22 minutes. 20 now before Jerusalem, the custom is to light the candles. The custom is to light the candles 40 minutes before sundown. When the woman lights the Shabbos candles, so she usually accepts Shabbos upon her. That's it for her. It's Shabbos. She may say, "I do not want to accept Shabbos." If she verbally states, "I do not want to accept Shabbos now," so then even though she lit the candles, she may continue doing milacha. But for the husband, we say that he also should preferably, if he's going to be the one lighting the candles, let's say a person's wife just gave birth, she's in the hospital for Shabbos, or she's in bed, she's not feeling well, and she's asking you, do me a favor, you light the Shabbos candles. So the husband has to make the blessing and light the Shabbos candles. And for him, he should preferably say, I am not yet accepting Shabbos, if he plans on not accepting Shabbos. But even if he doesn't, we say he could rely on the fact that that was his intent. By a wife, we say, being that the norm is that she lights Shabbos candles and then accepts the Shabbos, so that's why by a wife, we say that if she doesn't verbally state it, we cannot go by her thoughts. By a husband, we say it's not the norm that he lights, and he doesn't really have anything in mind when he lights. He's asking himself, well, what blessing do I make? How do I light? Do I light before the blessing, after the blessing? See, he's not really thinking of accepting Shabbos when he lights the Shabbos candles, and therefore we say that by him, but even a husband should preferably say it before he lights the candles. It is customary prior to lighting Shabbos candles to give tzedakah, and following the lighting of the Shabbos candles to pray for one's family, for one's children, for one's spouse. So that's a short overview of lighting Shabbos candles and what's relevant for bachelors. Okay, any questions?
If we're going to pay the half shekel to the host family that we're at, obviously we need to get there before Shabbos.
Right, but you don't have to. They could give it as a gift. I give you guys as a gift your portion in the Shabbos candles. I never charge you the half a shekel. Maybe I should collect now, be a rich person, but yeah. Sometimes I charge the half a shekel only because I feel like if people pay for it, they remember it better. I don't need, like, the half a shekel isn't what's going to make me rich. Mm-hmm. But nope. Well, maybe it will. But I feel like if a person pays for it, then it gets more ingrained in their mind. Sometimes guys come early, and then I really ask you to pay. But it's a chinuch point. It's not a halachic point. Halachically, you could get it as a gift.
You get the money as a gift and then you pay it back to them?
Do that too. Sometimes people come and they say, I didn't bring my money. What do you mean? I came here ready to go to shul. So I say, okay, here's a half a shekel. Now pay me back. Again, it's the chinuch aspect. Halachically, I could just as well give it to them as a gift. But I want people to learn it.
So basically, just making sure I understand, I think that's the most important point, that the kids are all exposed. You have to light in your own room. Like, I have to light my own room. What if I'm leaving? You know, like I'm coming back after dinner, but like I'm leaving, you know, 10 hours before dinner. So basically, what you're saying, that if I don't need light in my sleeping area, then the host's dinner light counts. I mean, if I take a portion,
correct,
his dinner, okay.
Correct. The earliest one may light Shabbos candles is Plaga Mincha. Just look at the calendar and see when Plaga Mincha is. Any other questions? Okay. Let's go over to Aram.